Welcome to the Top Tier Tactics Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Bud and Nadir, where aspiring champs come to get the latest and most accurate information to become top tier. Let's get on with the episode.
Welcome to a legendary Thursday episode. I am Nader, and we're doing it a little differently today. I have my own co-host, Bud, and we have Professor Chris as the guest this time. Professor Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. You know how on the Thursday shows we like to shake things up every week, and this is the biggest shakeup I've ever been a part of.
We like to keep you on your toes, especially you on your toes. Of course,
it's a crossover.
Yeah, exactly. It's a crossover,
episode.
Yeah, just like how in the cartoons did it with like Timmy Turner and Jimmy Neutron. This is it, but just on a higher level.
Yeah, Jimmy Neutron is exactly where my head went with that.
There you go. So, Bud, you're the quiet one right now.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm ready. I'm excited. Let's get it going.
Okay,
and brand new living room there.
I'm just killing
really
it.
Nice living room.
I'll play the piano after this, you know?
Yeah, if you guys are on YouTube right now and you guys see the living room that he did not green screen in, by the way. It's fabulous.
just broke into someone's house to record
a podcast.
I mean,
if it's a green screen job, I mean, you would see, it wouldn't look like this, you know?
It looks professional. It looks amazing.
Looks good.
All right, so let's get into the headlines.
NFL headlines.
Teddy Bridgewater, unlikely to play Sunday. Bud, how much is this affecting the wide receivers?
I mean, you're obviously going to look at it. Anytime a starting quarterback is out, you're going to be looking. DJ Moore obviously has been not what we expected this year, but Robbie Anderson is going to be a start, obviously. DJ Moore you're going to have to think about, but obviously, anytime a starting quarterback's out, you're going to have to keep it in the back of your mind and change.
Professor Chris, if you want to rank the wide receivers right now between Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, or DJ Moore, how would you rank it?
You know, I think I still got to go with Robbie Anderson. I've always loved him. DJ Moore, like you said, been disappointing. He had a great week last week. And after Curtis Samuel had those two awesome weeks, then just he had what, like three catches for eight yards, something like that. I think it's still Robbie Anderson. But honestly, in this matchup, there's not a whole lot of wide receivers I'm interested in playing, except for maybe Kenny Golladay, if he plays.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So does Robbie Anderson still earn a must-start tag?
Not a must-start tag, and that's because he doesn't have his starting quarterback. It's going to be what, P.J. Walker?
Ooh, I think you are correct. What about Mike Davis?
I mean, I want to say yes, but after you know the last 4 weeks that you've played him, he's been a disappointment every single time. You probably, if you're a McCaffrey owner, you probably don't have a better option. So I think you can still feel okay rolling him out there as a flex, but I'm not saying he's a must start. Mike Davis is not someone who's a must start for me. We are talking about rankings in this episode, and I do have him ranked in my top 15, but that's sort of an optimistic ranking.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit difficult. But do you have anything to share?
I mean, Mike Davis has a great matchup against Detroit. I know it's been a little bit rough, but he is going to get the volume. He's also going to be a PPR monster. I feel very comfortable. And if he's in the top 15, I mean, he is almost a high RB2 to an RB1 almost. To me, I'm starting Mike Davis 100%, especially with all the running back injuries that we've had. It's a thin list at running backs right now.
For sure.
Yeah, right now I just have a difficult time believing that somebody has RBs better than Mike Davis at this point. I mean, the running back room has gotten a lot better a couple weeks ago. I mean, the Dolphins situation is a lot better. I think Rex Burkhead has really elevated himself over the Patriots running back. So I think there's a little bit more variety in the running back position, but it's still a little rough. But Noah Fant, practice limited today. Both of you guys' opinions. We'll start with Bud. Does he play on Sunday?
I potentially see him playing. He's been injured on a regular basis. Am I going to start him? I think you got a couple different options to be able to go with him. I'd wait and see, but I would stay away from Fant right now.
Would you play someone like Austin Hooper over Noah Fant?
Yeah, because I know Hooper's going to be healthy.
I'd rather start Noah Fant, honestly.
Yeah, you can definitely make that argument.
What about Gesicki?
Gesicki.
What do you think, Nader?
Yeah, Gesicki. I think that's a fair one. It's not that bad of an option. Gesicki, because Preston Williams is not playing, and there's just a lack of weapons on that offense, and right now Toure is playing pretty good football. I like Gesicki a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
There we go. So Davante Adams and Alvin Kamara, both probably the two biggest names in the current list. They both did not practice, but they both are expected to play. How much do you guys believe that story? I'll start with you, Professor Chris.
You know, as a Colts fan, I really want Davante Adams not to play. I think that would be awesome if the Colts were just had to guard against MVS and maybe Alan Lazard. But I think Davante Adams plays. He's a tough guy. So is Alvin Kamara. I don't know if anything's really kept Alvin Kamara out aside from a concussion. Has he really missed anything besides that?
No, I think it was just concussion.
Yeah, because we've seen him banged up and still be great. He's been great this entire season. I think they both play.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with that.
So Sammy Watkins, he practiced full yesterday as of Wednesday, but today on Thursday, he practiced limited. So now his availability is up in the air. Would you guys start him if he does play?
I'm not going to start him. I think you got a lot of different options than Watkins.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's on waivers.
Yeah.
If he's out there as a free agent.
Absolutely.
No way am I starting him.
Honestly, I think it wouldn't be that bad of a play. Nicole Hardman is not there. So he is that clear cut wide receiver too. You still have Kelce and Hill, but that is a high flying offense.
It is a high flying offense against obviously a horrible defense in the Oakland Raiders, but I'm staying away from Watkins. I think there's too much unknown there. There's a lot more potential in other wide receivers right now and a lot of safer options too.
Yep, no way I want him.
DeAndre Swift, the emerging running back for the Lions, is currently in concussion protocol. What is the expectancy of him playing?
I mean, this late in the week being put on the concussion protocol, because this, what, just happened... we just got this news this afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Thursday afternoon?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he just got put into the concussion protocol on Thursday. I highly doubt he plays.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And it's sad because he has a great matchup against Carolina, too. Great schedule for him this week, but yeah, he's not going to play.
And I do have him ranked in this rankings episode we're talking about, but I will have a contingency if he does not play.
Yes, same as well. I do have him ranked. But if he does not play, AP's going to be the lead back, right? We'll start with Bud.
Probably.
I most likely assume he's going to be the lead back, but they are going to move around. Johnson's going to get a little bit of work, but if you were starting anyone, Peterson would be the guy.
Yeah. Kerryon Johnson?
That's a gross decision to have to make.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I feel like we're getting to that point with so many injuries right now, you might have to make some dirty decisions.
Yeah, it's a brutal week when it comes to really just, you know, bye weeks. There's six teams on bye this week.
Yeah, it's a good amount right now.
So, Kerryon Johnson, yeah. Are we playing him? Is he a low-end flex?
I'm not playing Kerryon.
So, I mean,
that's just I'm staying away.
Go ahead.
I would play Adrian Peterson over Kerryon Johnson,
yes.
But if you're in that decision, you're probably 2-8 right now.
It's not going well for you.
It's rough, but I can't imagine Adrian Peterson playing the full amount of snaps. I just feel like Kerryon Johnson will at least get something.
He'll get some work, but it's not going to be relevant to what you want.
And we're not even missing a whole lot of we do have four teams on bye, but we're not missing a whole lot of fantasy superstars when it comes to the running backs. It's the 49ers, the Giants, the Bears, and the Bills. Yeah. I mean, who are we really missing this week? Maybe Wayne Gallman, if that, after last week's performance.
Jerick McKinnon.
Jerick McKinnon. Yeah, Lamar Miller / David Montgomery.
Oh, God.
For the Bills, you got Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. Like, you're not really missing anything this week. But still, so definitely, if you're in the position where you're playing Adrian Peterson or Kerryon Johnson, it's been rough.
Yes.
100%. Mo Alie-Cox gets himself a limited session. Professor Chris, you are the Indianapolis Colts fan. Is he playing?
I think he does.
Does it matter?
In a two tight end league, sure. I have to play him in a two tight end league this week.
Yeah.
So, with Mo Alley Cox, you're hoping for two catches for 20 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a low score line. Are you basically recommending don't start him?
I'm saying in a two tight end league, you might have to.
Yeah. Okay. Two tight end league, you potentially have to, is what. Yeah.
Yep.
So Duke Johnson returns to practice after an illness. With COVID protocols, he still has to go through it to make sure that he tests negative. But right now it is assumed he will play. So are you guys fully confident in the start?
Fully confident? No, but I'm willing to play Duke Johnson.
As more of a flex option is what I'm thinking.
I just feel like every time Duke Johnson has been the starter, he has so much potential and he disappoints every single time.
Yeah.
Because we've seen what he can do as just the third down back, and where he's had these really amazing games, these really amazing plays. He's great in the receiving game. And then you think, okay, oh man, if this guy ever just got a chance to start, and every time he's the starter, it's just a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, you get 16 carries against Jacksonville with 2.6 yard average, and then you obviously had Cleveland with 14 carries and 3.9. It just, when you get a good amount of volume, you expect more from him.
He's basically the anti-Giovanni Bernard in this case. So James Robinson, he practiced limited with a shoulder injury. I fully expect him to play.
Yeah, line him up.
Is that a consensus?
James Robinson?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I expect him to play.
Yeah, he's a sure-fired RB1, in my opinion. Joe Mixon, the new AJ Green, I might have to add, consistently waiting week after week after week with an injury. Did not practice again today. Fully expect him to miss this week.
Very disappointing, very frustrating. Yes, I do.
Fire up Gio.
Yep, absolutely.
And last but not least, Calvin Ridley with a limited tag. Now, he's probably one of the closer game time decisions out of all these players. Let's get a consensus. We'll start with Professor Chris.
I mean, you got to play him.
If he plays.
Yeah. If Calvin Ridley plays, I mean, the dude's been great this season when he's been on the field. If he plays, I think you got to throw him out there. And it is a great matchup as well. It's going to be a high scoring game, right? The Falcons go against, New Orleans. Yep. Yeah. And it's in a dome. And Matt Ryan is great in a dome.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, Julio's going to be covered by Lattimore. Julio's still going to be doing his thing, but that leaves Calvin Ridley to be potentially a very big game.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a shootout.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a great matchup, especially with Jameis in there. I know a lot of people don't like Jameis as a quarterback. I 100% agree. But as a fantasy quarterback, the guy tries to sling it. So I think it's going to be a pretty decent game to watch.
This is a good week because we have a ton of games that could potentially be shootouts, which is always fun for fantasy. Absolutely. Like, if we're looking at the matchups right now, Bengals, Washington, that has potential. Falcons, Saints. Let's see. Titans, Ravens could be high scoring. I don't want to say Cowboys, Vikings. Packers, Colts, Chiefs, Raiders, and then Rams, Buccaneers.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I 100% agree. And then obviously we have Thursday night, Seattle and Arizona, which that's going to be a huge game.
Yeah, I hope so. Man, I need in my money league that I am 10-0 in.
Nice.
I've got Kyler Murray. He's been carrying me, and I need him to have a big game tonight.
I think he will. I think it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be nice.
I hope so.
All right, now before we move on to our rankings, in the comments I'm seeing a guy, Mini Jordan. 718 asks, we'll start with Professor Chris, Jordan Wilkins or Kerryon Johnson, PPR.
Oh, this is right up his alley.
Exactly.
Is it?
And Colts? You know?
Well, yeah, it's the third, technically the fourth string running back on the Colts going into the season.
Yep.
Damn. Lions are playing who again?
Oh, Lions are playing.
They're playing the Panthers. Look it up. Panthers.
Yeah, they're playing the Panthers. Horrible defense over there. But, I mean, are we going to see Kerryon Johnson get a good amount of volume? Is it going to be mainly Adrian Peterson is pretty much the question, right?
I think I would much rather play Kerryon Johnson over Jordan Wilkins because in Detroit it's just AP and Kerryon, whereas in Indy it's Jonathan Taylor and Hines and Wilkins.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure.
So I would play Kerryon, but that's a gross decision to have to make, man. I'm sorry about that.
It's a bad spot.
Plus in PPR, I think Kerryon Johnson would be better in PPR than Wilkins. Yeah.
A little safer play, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
Safer floor, at least.
The hype for Kerryon Johnson over the last 2 years was absolutely wild. For him to fall down this far so quickly, a little sad and disappointing.
I think there are just a couple of the big podcasts in general that they get on one player so much that it makes everybody else just follow that. And I think that's what happened with Kerryon Johnson. I'm not going to, you know, call anybody out or anything like that, but I think that's what happened with Kerryon Johnson and his hype.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so let's transition to the clutch starts and sits, and we got our wide receiver and RB ranking, as hopefully we're able to show our rankings on screen. Am I able to do that? Am I able? There we go. And we have it up. So... we put our wide receiver and running back side by side, and we ranked them 1 through 15. And as I see right now, we have a complete different listings. And I just want to know, why isn't Tyreek Hill number one for Professor Chris?
You can't ignore what Devontae Adams has been doing.
He's a little injured. He's a little nicked up.
He's been killing it, though. I would agree with that. Yeah, he has been killing it. And I mean...
Absolutely crushing it.
Yeah.
And I forgot to, so we were doing this without Hopkins, Metcalf, and Lockett. I updated these in Fantasy Pros, but I did not update them in the Google spreadsheet. So let me do that real quick while you guys are talking. But yeah, Devontae Adams, number one for me.
I have a hard time putting anybody over Tyreek Hill. I mean, when you have Mahomes and a high ceiling matchup, I just feel like you got to chase it whenever you can get it. I mean, not to say Aaron Rodgers isn't that good. It's just the Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes little stack. It's difficult to shy away from and rank it so highly. And especially, it's been immensely productive all year long. Against a Las Vegas Raiders defense, I just feel like that's the best there is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the argument, and I understand the Devontae Adams argument as well, because, I mean, when you look at Devontae Adams, he hasn't had anything less than 10 targets than other than one game, which was 3 when he got hurt in Detroit. So, I mean, he's a target monster. He's going to be obviously a wide receiver one. Devontae Adams is going to kill it. I think Tyreek Hill against the Raiders, I do think he gets a long bomb. I think he's going to get about 9-10 targets. He's going to be the main guy there, obviously, but Tyreek Hill has the higher ceiling. I think Devontae Adams is a floor. I mean, when we're talking about top five guys, apples to oranges is kind of preference on that.
Yeah, it's splitting hairs a lot of the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so, how often on your fantasy roster are you really deciding between these two guys, you know?
Yeah, almost never, you know?
And that is a good problem to have if you do. So... Michael Thomas, I think, is going to be the most polarizing figure that we have on our list. As of right now, I'm looking. I have him ranked number 7.
Yeah.
Professor Chris, number 5. And now Bud.
Number 3.
Number 3. So my question to you is why is he so high with a backup quarterback that can't even see?
He got LASIK. I don't know if you knew that.
Did it work?
We'll find out this weekend, right? I'm just saying. Michael Thomas, obviously, it's been very disappointing. The 10 games, I think it was 10 receptions, 85 yards, something in that area. I think he has a Michael Thomas game. I think he gets targeted on a regular basis from Jameis Winston. I think they feed him a good amount. I think he has a touchdown, 10 receptions, about 120 yards is my rough guesstimate. But I think he has a big game. I think he's a very safe bet. Michael Thomas gets on track this week.
Professor Chris.
Michael Thomas is the best parts of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
I like that.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a huge game. Jameis Winston as quarterback. I mean, he was having huge games with Teddy Bridgewater as quarterback. Jameis Winston slings the ball. I think he knows what Michael Thomas is, because everybody knows what Michael Thomas is and what he can do. I have no problem with him being ranked number 3. I do think it's a little high. I have him at 5, but, you know, still in my top 5. I think Michael Thomas is going to be back to being Michael Thomas with a quarterback who is going to throw the ball, and it's in a potentially, and fingers crossed, hopefully, high-scoring matchup. And we just had a DK Metcalf touchdown.
Oh. You know we like to hear stuff like that.
You love your boy DK.
I was very high on him. and it's a gift that keeps on giving. So back this track on the wide receivers, Professor Chris, you currently have T. Higgins ranked 15, and you are the only one out of the three with him on the list. Now, is this like a knock on Tyler Boyd, or is this the rise of T. Higgins?
I think it's the rise of T. Higgins. We're seeing the rookie Joe Burrow and the rookie T. Higgins having that connection as the season goes on. It's not a knock on Tyler Boyd. I actually have never, you know, I get the appeal of Tyler Boyd. I wish I had him on teams, but I've never had Tyler Boyd on an actual roster. But I think we see that rookie-to-rookie connection between Joe Burrow and T. Higgins. It just gets stronger each week. We saw it last week against a very tough Pittsburgh defense in some in the windy weather as well. Now, I want to once again preface this by saying I don't have T. Higgins ranked at 15. Before the show, we talked about taking out DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Lockett, and DK Metcalf because they're playing on Thursday night when we're recording this. So you kind of said it feels like if they lay an egg, is what I think is the way you put it, then it makes us look dumb. So with those guys out, it bumped T. Higgins up. But for what it's worth, I do have Boyd at 16. So
yeah, and I love Higgins. I love the connection. I think long term it's going to be very beautiful for Higgins.
Yep. It's going to be awesome.
Burrow, you know, but I have Higgins at 17 actually. So I mean, I'm not that far away at all.
Oof, that is. I think
are
that's
you
high.
Are you far away from that?
T. Higgins, mm-hmm. I was pretty far off. I didn't even consider him, putting him on the list. I mean, I still had people around, like, you know, DJ Moore around the 15 to 20 mark. I'm getting escaped on the people of my top of my head now. They all escaped me.
You okay?
It's horrible. It's horrible. So,
guys, I think we're going to need to pause the show here to let Nader catch up with everything.
We can do that. We don't have a couple hours. We don't have a couple days. So I am the only one with Mike Evans on the list. As okay. I'm scanning through your guys. So I scanned it twice, by the way, to make sure.
You scanned
so I don't
it,
look
you
like an idiot.
Triple check.
Scanned it twice.
Yeah. I'm the only one with Mike Evans on the list. After he's been force-fed the ball in the red zone, and it's been successful. He's had multiple touchdowns over the course of the past weeks, and it seems like his frustration over the offense is shown because Tom Brady is consistently looking at him now. Is this just a gut feeling that you guys have?
Yeah, it's not a gut feeling. I think Ramsey is going to match up on Mike Evans, yep. And if you kind of look on his targets, it's kind of been a little bit depressing. You know, I'll start with Green Bay at two targets, one reception, obviously. And then we went to the Raiders. Raiders are horrible defense. Two targets again. Giants, seven targets. And then you have six, which is decent. He really got fed against Carolina, horrible defense. But I think his matchup is very, very rough against Ramsey, who shut down DK Metcalf, which we talked about last week. I'm staying away from him. I don't feel comfortable with this situation. There's too many options there.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams have the best secondary in the NFL, best cornerback in the NFL. I firmly believe that Jalen Ramsey is going to be on Mike Evans because he's the best wide receiver on the team. It's not Chris Godwin. I know everybody loves Chris Godwin. He's the new hotness there, but Mike Evans is still the best wide receiver on that team. He's going to get Jalen Ramsey all game long. I think Aaron Donald is going to be in that backfield all night long, and I so hope so, because nothing, really few things as a Colts fan give me more pleasure than seeing Tom Brady just get smoked.
Oh, we can agree with that. I love that. Oh my so God. Good, I hate Tom Brady with a passion. I'm a Raider fan as well. So Tuck Rule. I got a lot of issues.
Call of all time.
Man. Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Like, you know what? Let me go on a little rant here. The Tuck Rule was not even appropriately applied.
Yep.
There.
Yeah, absolutely. Even Tom
Brady
said it.
He wasn't bringing it down. It was already tucked.
Yep. Yep.
So the Tuck Rule didn't even apply at all.
Absolutely.
It was just a completely crap call that they wanted Tom Brady to get there, and they took it away from Oakland. It was complete bullshit. His entire legacy is built on Adam Vinatieri cheating and one horribly missed call.
I love it. It's perfect, Perfectly said. Perfectly said.
I'm going to 100% disagree with you guys. The Tuck rule was probably applied.
Well,
it
guess
was
what?
For a reason.
Guess what?
And we it don't, was called.
We don't care what you have to say.
The Tuck rule was called, and it was a rule at the time, but that was if the quarterback is tucking the ball. Tom Brady already had it tucked. He already had it tucked. Ball, it wasn't coming. No. You're wrong. Watch the video. You know, go back and watch it. He was not tucking it. It was tucked. He already had it down.
Absolutely.
That was a fumble that was incorrectly called.
I think the Tuck rule should still be here.
That is a hill I'm going to die on, but I'm right there with you.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Yeah, I might have to leave. I can't be near him.
Yeah,
right
so
now,
anyway,
you know?
So I love seeing Tom Brady hit the dirt. I hope Aaron Donald just absolutely buries him. I hope we see this clip of Tom Brady getting up with, like, grass stuck in his face mask after a sack. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But anyways, who were we talking about? Mike Evans.
Talking about Mike Evans. that's a far segue. So yeah, Mike Evans last year played the Rams, and he actually had a monstrous game. He had a 50-yard touchdown catch. He had over 100 yards that game. And, I mean, Jalen Ramsey was on the team during the time. So
who was his quarterback?
Jameis Winston.
Okay. Apples to oranges right now. And it doesn't look like it's the same target ratio for Mike Evans compared to last year, and it doesn't look like the same offense, obviously. So we'll have to see what happens. But Ramsey, DK Metcalf, what was it? 30 routes run, 2 receptions, 24 yards, I think, on Ramsey. Ramsey can play. Ramsey is a long, big corner that can play a little physical. I see it. A good matchup, and it's going to be rough against Evans. But we'll see this weekend.
I do have Evans ranked in my top 20 for what it's worth, but I not mean, my top 15.
I think you kind of have to.
Yeah, too. Exactly. But I actually, no, you don't kind of have to, because Fantasy Pros, that's where I do or put my rankings in. I sort of start with their expert consensus rankings, and then I rearrange it to what I think on the expert platform. Fantasy Pros expert consensus ranking has Mike Evans at 27.
God. They're thinking it's going to be rough, too.
I disagree. So,
and that's in half PPR.
Half PPR, yes. So right now there's another question asking, should I don't know if it's a 2 out of 3, pick one out of the three or rank them, but AB, DJ Chark, or DJ Moore? Just in case, we'll pick one and then rank two.
Well, if I'm picking one, I'm taking... It's hard to take DJ Chark against the Steelers, but I think that's what I'm going to do. I don't want... Damn it. No, you know what? I'm going to go Antonio Brown.
Oh, God.
I want to go... If it wasn't the Steelers, I might go with Chark.
Bud?
Yeah, I can see that. You know, I really don't want to go Antonio Brown because...
But he had a good game.
You know, the dude shouldn't be in the league. Let's be blatantly honest. How many times has he got in trouble? He should still be suspended. Plus, he's going to get suspended because what happened recently. That will probably be next year.
He's got 7 for 69.
Yeah. Nice. I agree. And the matchup for him is probably going to be very good. So it would be Antonio Brown. I don't feel happy about it, but that's probably the best option.
We throwing DJ Moore under the bus right now?
I think we're throwing DJ Moore a little under the bus. And you know I love DJ Moore.
I think PJ Walker under the bus.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's definitely understandable.
Yeah, so I would rank them AB. DJ Chark is a close second. I think it's like 1A, 1B, both basically the same. And then DJ Moore as a far unloved third child.
Far unloved third
child. <like that.
laughs> Yeah, I'm sorry. So right now we have Cooper Kupp on all of our lists. Yeah. We don't have... Robert Woods. Was there a reason why? I'll start with Professor Chris.
I want Robert Woods to be in there so much because in that undefeated money league, I'm starting him this week. But it's more of a feeling for me. I have a feeling this is a Cooper Kupp game.
Mr. Bud?
I like Kupp more than Robert Woods. And I think he's going to be in the slot a good amount, and he's going to work that Dallas defense. It's going to be pretty easy for him. I think it's a big game. Robert Woods is going to have a good game, too. Don't get me wrong. But I, like he kind of said, I mean,
it's not
I guess
Dallas
it's more
defense,
of a feeling. But either one is a very good start. I would feel comfortable with Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp easily against this horrible defense.
You said the Dallas defense?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I'm tripping. Tampa Bay. Yeah, I'm completely forgot. Tampa Bay.
Wait, what? The Rams? Yeah, they're playing Tampa Bay.
Yes. Yeah. I said Dallas. Okay. Misspoke.
So they're both still must start, right? Yeah. Well, right now we're ranking Robert Woods lower, but they're both must start.
For me, they're must start.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So basically, I would probably put Cooper Kupp in the 15 through 20 list. Is that a fair?
Yeah, for sure.
That's your – yeah.
Okay. So any closing thoughts on the wide receivers before we go into the running backs? Terry McLaurin, he's top, must start. Adam Thielen, must start. A.J. Brown, he is going against Baltimore, but we're still going to put him high on the list, must start. Will Fuller. I am also the only one with Will Fuller on the list. Am I correct? You are.
Mm-hmm.
Any reasons why you guys don't like him?
You can go first if you want, Chris, or I can go, either one.
He can get injured at any point. I just find it hard to believe in a guy who has such an extensive hamstring injury, who relies on his speed. I want to root for him, but I just don't buy it.
I mean, Will Fuller is very talented,
yep.
And they're going against New England, right? I'm not wrong on this one, right?
You were correct.
Okay, thank you. So New England against wide receiver ones, they have been phenomenal throughout this whole season.
Sure.
Wide receiver twos, they have been horrible. So I am going to – that is mainly why I am not having your boy on there.
Are you saying Will Fuller is the wide receiver two?
I'm saying wide receiver one, they have been very good against. Will Fuller is the wide receiver one.
Okay. Yeah,
Brandon Cooks, okay. I have ranked a lot higher than I do Will Fuller because I think Brandon Cooks is that wide receiver two. I'm going to take advantage of that Patriots defense that lets wide receiver twos do what they do. Do look like a wide receiver one, I guess.
I think that's rich. I would take Will Fuller over Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
it's understandable.
I just want to say I misunderstood you a little bit. I thought you meant the Patriots defense is bad against wide receiver ones, but
great. No, they're very good against wide receiver ones. I'm sorry, maybe you're confused. Yeah, maybe I'm confusing
confused.
You. They're very good against wide receiver ones. Wide receiver twos, they're atrocious. They're very, very bad. And I think Brandon Cooks is going to get back to
when you have the other team's playbook.
True. True. Absolutely.
Sorry, I absolutely hate the Patriots. Yeah. It's, you know, as a fantasy analyst, I try to be as objective as I can when it comes to rankings and advice and things like that. But, and I know you're supposed to play fantasy without the heart. I will never own a Patriots player on any of my rosters. I have 15 leagues, not one Patriot.
And I just want to mention something to Chris, because you hate the Patriots. Brandon Cooks hate the Patriots too. It's a little revenge game for him. So
I like
just,
that.
Just, oh, just, yeah. like just, that just mention it. Just throwing it out there for you guys. Just throwing it out there.
I like it.
That's a great take. I do want to let you know Stephon Gilmore, Defensive Player of the Year, is not playing. I mean, you have to think he is the shutdown corner and he is the one shutting down that wide receiver. What?
Yeah.
He's not playing. Does that change your guys' thought process?
I'm still going Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
I'm sticking with my guy.
I'm still going Will Fuller over Cooks.
Yeah. Okay, but not top 15.
But not top 15.
There we go. All righty. I think that wraps up the wide receiver rankings. Let's hop on to the running back. I think we all have Dalvin Cook, number one, against the juiciest matchup I think he'll have all year in the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, can't
argue. And then
argue
I think
that.
We all have Kamara, number two, and that's a no-brainer in itself. But I think one through five, they've all towed. Must start. Derrick Henry still considered in the top five, even though he has a tough matchup. Mike Davis is probably the only one in the top 10 that we have a difference in value in. Him or Aaron Jones? Is there a matchup concern?
I'm more in favor of Aaron Jones there.
How much?
Way much.
Aaron Jones is third for him.
Yes, for right? me okay. he's number three.
Yes.
Yeah. I okay. feel like I yes. have Aaron Jones appropriately ranked at seven.
Okay. And I'm at eight. for yes, Aaron Jones.
So I feel like you and I are right there with each other.
I think the difference is I'm a lot higher on Mike Davis than you are, obviously.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. Nader, I want to know why you have Aaron Jones ranked at 3 when he's going against probably the best run defense.
Yeah, that was my biggest concern is Indianapolis defense is very good. His matchup next week is Chicago, which is going to be another hard matchup. But yeah.
I trust Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay offense to work around DeForest Buckner, to work around that defense, to give him some sweeps, give him some tosses, give him involved in the passing game a lot more than typically would, which is why I have him higher than other people typically would. Because you have to think, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to move the ball down the field. If he's moving the ball down the field, there's just going to be touchdown opportunities. Him and Dalvin Cook, in my opinion, are the only running backs on this list that can put up 40 fantasy points and nobody's surprised. So his upside continually makes it so he's higher on the list than he probably should be.
I would be shocked if he gets 40 against the Colts.
Wow. I would be also, but I'm still expecting at least 100 total yards and a touchdown.
I mean, he's 100 total yards, yeah, okay. I can understand 100 total yards. I mean, because he's only rushed for over 100 yards one game this season against Detroit, that horrible Detroit team.
And he broke a monstrous game during that one.
Absolutely.
So.
He broke a 75-yarder.
So
what did he do aside from that 75-yarder? What does the rest of his outlook look like?
So he had 18 carries, 168 yards. So 17 carries minus 75 of 168. You're the math wizard.
Shit, man, I am off the clock.
So I mean he did 17 carries, he did about 90 yards. So I mean that's still a very good game with two touchdowns. It's still a productive game, plus four receptions, 68 yards. That was a big game against a horrible Detroit team. But the next closest yards for rushing would be against Atlanta, which was only 71. Yep. So yeah.
Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
He goes against Baltimore. Yep. Last year in the playoffs. He had a big game where he's famously known for stiff-arming Earl Thomas.
stiff-arming everyone. God.
You know, so. I watched this. So I like watching YouTube videos a lot. Like, I don't leave YouTube comments. I'm not, like, a YouTube, like, kind of guy. But, like, I'll get on YouTube a few times a day just to, like, watch, you know, if I got some time. And I was watching Best Stiff Arms, like, like from just one of those, like, compilations, Best Stiff Arms. And Derrick Henry was in it, like, 5 times.
Yeah.
And it just so good. Like, no one throws defenders like he does.
He's huge.
He's huge.
He's massive.
So, you guys are just complimenting him. Yet, on your list, you currently have him ranked 6. And, Bud, you currently have him ranked number 3, which is very high, which is even higher than me. So, Professor Chris, why is he below Ezekiel Elliott?
It's going against the Ravens, man. It's a good defense.
But it's Zeke right now. He is very high on your list at number 5. Why is that?
But is that high for Ezekiel Elliott?
In the current situation,
No. He's getting Andy Dalton back. Andy Dalton is much better than the 3rd and 4th string quarterbacks.
But Andy Dalton was not that impressive regardless.
But he is still better than those quarterbacks. And Ezekiel Elliott is still an amazing running back. Cowboys are going against the Vikings, who have a pretty poor defensive team. They just got rid of Everson Griffith, right? A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
This is going to be potentially the worst defensive game of the week. This could be high scoring because
it's
going to
be a feed me. It's
going to
be a feed me right there.
Yeah.
I mean, so Derrick Henry's number 3 for me. I actually he was supposed to be number 10.
So how'd that happen?
He was supposed to be right below Zeke.
Did you have 7 players on bye?
I don't know what my deal was, but he was actually supposed to be below. So I have actually Derrick Henry lower than most of you guys.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know. I must have.
So after what's two, while you fix your list.
God.
Sorry, I threw him under the bus.
That's fine.
That's good.
Fine.
So James Conner had multi disappointing games, and he's starting to lose his carries for some odd reason, not necessarily because of injury or bad play. He's been pretty productive while he plays. But we're having him ranked pretty low on this list. I have him at 12. You have him, Professor Chris at 11, and then Bud, you have him at 10. Are we losing confidence in him?
A little bit.
Why?
It just hasn't been there.
He hasn't really looked like the James Conner that we kind of know.
I mean, what going against the Bengals last week is a good matchup.
Mm-hmm. And he was 13, 36, and 2.8 yard average. It's not going to get it done.
Yeah. Is that the offensive line issue? Because, I mean, you can only go through the holes. And if you're getting 2.9 yards per carry, that's not necessarily your fault.
I still don't think it's just the offensive line issue, though.
So. You can only go through the holes.
I really don't. You know what I mean?
but that's not true. I mean, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, you know, Zeke. These guys find ways to, if the hole is closed, they can get around the outside or they can create a cut or something like that. You know, it's not you can only go through the holes. With James Conner, he's got the potential to be a top five running back on the season, but it's just not happening this season.
What about Lev Bell? Where are we going to put him on this? Obviously, none of us have him on the list, and we all have Clyde very low onto the list. I mean, right now, only Professor Chris currently has him at, what is this, number 9. And other than that, we have him at 14 and 15.
It's number 9 for the workload and going against the Raiders.
Yeah, understandable.
The Raiders, Bud, you are the Raiders fan.
Our defense is atrocious. I mean,
and the run defense is great.
Our run defense is very bad. I don't have him ranked at 9 just because of, honestly, his workload has been decreasing on a regular basis. After the Buffalo game, it was 26 attempts, and then you have Denver, which is 8. Then you have New York Jets, who's a horrible team, is 6. So they should have been running. And then you have Carolina, 5. So it's been decreasing. And then you obviously have Lev Bell there, which is going to eat a little bit. I'm not saying Lev Bell is going to do anything. But Hilaire hasn't been what everyone thought he was going to be. And I honestly, I wasn't very high on him or Jonathan Taylor. I didn't have no shares of either of them. But I understand why people like Hilaire is because, you know, you're on top offense. You have potential touchdown potential on a regular basis.
I was high on Jonathan Taylor. And maybe that was a little biased from being a Colts fan. I mean, but the dude had a great pedigree coming in. I have zero shares of Clyde Edwards-Hilaire.
Yeah, I do too.
Nothing.
As you should.
Yeah, there was way too much hype.
So on a side note, I just want to say, just for the fun of it,
okay,
Adam Gase is right.
What?
Bell's trash. Lev Bell is trash, and the Steelers offensive line made him.
So if Steelers offensive line is almost the same, which I think it's got
not.
A decent amount of people at least, you're just saying Lev Bell is completely trash always?
I'm just saying he is nowhere near productive as he should be, or how we anticipate him. We consistently hype up Lev Bell to being this great elite running back. But ever since he's left the Steelers, which hasn't been that long ago, by the way, he has never been the same. He's getting more volume, or he was getting more volume on the Jets.
What are you going to do with the Jets at this point? Like the Jets and Adam Gase is supposed to be a guru, just like Matt Nagy, which is an absolute joke to me, and I don't know why Adam Gase is still there.
Because he's a genius.
We're going to title this show Adam Gase Was Right.
Oh my God. There you go. You'll get a ton of looks for sure on that. Adam Gase is not right. But Adam Gase should have gotten rid of Lev Bell because they weren't going anywhere anyways. Lev Bell's not going to bring them. I don't know why they paid a good amount of money for him. Is Lev Bell ever going to be the old Lev Bell? No. No, he won't.
Professor Chris, you have a closing statement?
I think if Clyde Edwards-Hilaire gets injured, Lev Bell is going to be a superstar.
Ooh,
but
I know. I
but know. That, you know, unless that happens, then he's still going to be the RB2. I mean, they invested a lot into Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, and they're using him. I think the Chiefs are going to get up in this game on the Raiders. I don't think it'll be a blowout because it's a division game. The Chiefs don't really blow out the Raiders.
It could be interesting, a lot more interesting than people think.
Exactly.
I definitely see Kansas City beating Oakland. Obviously, Oakland beat them last time, but I see Kansas City beating, but I think it'll be a lot closer than people think.
Right. I see Kansas City being up by 10 to 14 for the most part throughout the game, and they're gonna run the ball at that point. You know, if they get up by, you know, 30 points, you know, 20 to 30 points, they're going to give the ball to Daryl Williams or Darwin Thompson. You know, they're not going to give the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire because they don't need to. They're not going to give the ball to Bell because they don't need to. But if it's within a couple scores, I do think they're going to feel comfortable with their lead. They're not going to pass as much. They're going to run the ball. And CEH is definitely the guy there.
So I would like to ask a question on just to see your perspective on Lev Bell. Like, how do you feel on Lev Bell starting him or not starting him? Because my perspective on it is, honestly, I have no Lev Bell shares. I didn't draft any of them at all this year. I have no interest in Lev Bell at all this whole year. Unless Helaire gets hurt, I think he's almost useless to a certain extent. What's your take on that, Chris?
Man, I was really high on Bell coming in because as bad as he was last year, he was still the RB16 in PPR. And he was only, so I do a show at the end of every season called Stranger Stats. And it was kind of like a play on Stranger Things. And it's just a bunch of obscure stats. But I think Lev Bell, if I recall correctly, was within, I think it was 8 points of being an RB1. So he was so close. Even with how bad he was almost an RB1 last year in 15 games, too. He missed a game last year and still finishes the RB16. So I was really high on him coming in. I thought he was a value in the draft. Turns out I was wrong. but based on what we had seen last year, I thought everybody was super low on him. Yeah. But Bell, he can be dropped.
Yeah, yeah. Just, I mean, flat that's, out. That's kind of how I feel. At this point, it's just kind of, unfortunately, a waste, but I think last year he had a whole bunch of targets as well. I think they were getting a lot of reception yards to help in the PPR stats for that end. But yeah.
Right. And a big question I saw on some fantasy football Facebook groups this week, because, yeah, I guess I don't know if I'm old. I'm only 32, but I prefer, like, just, you know, if I'm taking a deuce, I scroll through Facebook and not Twitter.
Good try.
But I saw Fulgham or Pittman. Like, do I drop Travis Fulgham for Michael Pittman? And my immediate thought is yes, because Pittman, I think, is the guy in Indy now. But if I had Bell as well, I would drop Le'Veon Bell over Fulgham to pick up Pittman.
I could understand. I like Fulgham, but I like, you know, Michael Pittman Jr. was one of my guys that I really like, and I think he was going to take over as the Colts, because he's a very, very talented wide receiver. I think he was very underrated in the draft process. I'm a big USC fan, too, so I watched a decent amount of that. But, yeah, I see big things for Michael Pittman. I have him in a couple dynasty leagues as well.
Well, and the Colts drafted him to be their number one.
Yep.
Absolutely. And after he came back from injury, he had like a decent game, but then 2 weeks ago, a good game, and this past week, a really good game. He didn't get into the end zone, but it was still a really good game. I mean, he comped to his measurables, comped to Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Now, that's a huge comparison.
Yeah, that is.
A huge comparison, but his measurables comp to Calvin Johnson.
He's also very intelligent, very football smart. I mean, his dad was Michael Pittman Jr., or Michael Pittman, obviously, the running back for the Buccaneers that won the Super Bowl against Oakland, obviously. But, yeah, he has been born and bred for this, and I think he's going to be great wide receiver long term for sure.
Yeah, if you were able to get him in Dynasty, like in your rookie draft, that is a great, great asset.
Second round, I think it was. Yep.
I was grabbing him at the end of the first. I didn't have any early picks in any of my rookie drafts this year, which kind of sucked.
Yeah.
It is rough. I actually was pretty close to putting him near the top 15. I was deciding between him and Robbie Anderson.
I almost put him in there over Higgins, but I was like, you know what? No, that's the homer in me. I can't do that.
Ooh, that is rough. I do expect big things with him because, let's face it, that wide receiving core isn't necessarily the most talented, especially because their number two receiver is what? T.Y. Hilton?
He's the number two now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Philip Rivers, man, leading the Colts to the Super Bowl.
Oh, there's the Colts homer right there.
There it is.
I love it. So I do want to ask you, because obviously you watch a lot of Colts games. So is there something going on with Jonathan Taylor? Is there something I'm missing on why he's not being as productive as everyone thought? Or do the Colts still feel like he's going to be the future RB there? Is there a reason why they're doing like a running back by committee?
You know, it's either the ankle injury that Frank Reich noticed a couple weeks ago is still bothering them, or they're sick of the fumbles. I mean, the dude fumbled 18 times in 41 games in college.
Yeah.
He has a fumbling issue. He's got insane talent, but he's got a fumbling issue. Nyheim Hines is the RB1 on the Colts.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, and yeah, it's not just what it seems. He is the running back one. Jonathan Taylor may technically be the quote-unquote starter, but when it comes to fantasy and when it comes to crunch time, it's Nyheim Hines. You know, he's getting goal line carries.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor's not getting that. I have no idea why on fourth and goal from the two, the Colts gave it to Jordan Wilkins last week. Maybe they gave it to Jordan Wilkins twice on fourth and short, and he failed both times.
Fumbles. I mean, like you said, maybe they just don't trust Jonathan Taylor in those short yardage where a lot of people are going to be there, where the ball can get knocked out.
But trust potentially. Hines. Trust Hines to make a cut. Yeah. And Jordan or Jonathan Taylor, I think he converted a couple fourth and shorts.
Yeah,
he did. And so they went for it fourth down repeatedly.
Yeah, and that's why I love Frank Reich. If it's fourth and less than five, you can damn sure guarantee that he's going to go for it. If the Colts are like past their own 40-yard line, they're going for it on fourth down, which I absolutely love. It doesn't always work out, but I have found from watching Colts games that they are more successful than not because they take these risks. And Frank Reich, just an amazing coach for the Colts. And I know that this might come across as homerism, and maybe it is, but you know what? This is my third beer during the show. So
Lay it on us. Let's hear it.
Yeah, no,
I love how they
go for it on fourth down as much as they do. They're trying to win, which is great.
He seems like a really good coach. Seems like you guys are moving in the right direction. I do think you are going to need a quarterback other than Phillip Rivers, but in due time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They drafted Jacob Eason in the fourth round. I don't know if he is the future or not. I mean, they're certainly – the Colts are going to win the division. It was so cute of the Titans to think that they had a chance.
How do you feel about that, Nader? How do you feel about that?
So adorable that the cute little Titans thought they had a shot this year. Oh, we went undefeated. We went 6-0. It's always belonged to Indy. Come on.
What's going on over there?
I like the Titans, and I think they're built to win.
Okay.
I think it was a bad game.
Okay.
I think the game would be a whole lot different if A.J. Brown,
built to come in second place.
A.J. Brown caught that stupid pass. That was a touchdown.
You know I love my A.J. Brown, though.
Yeah.
All right.
A.J. Brown dropped 15 fantasy points when he dropped that touchdown pass.
Yeah, but you know what? Who still would have won the game?
It doesn't matter. My fantasy team would have won the game. That's all that matters. So,
You know what? I'm okay with going 0-15 in a given week if the Colts win.
Because
I'm a Colts fan first and foremost over a fantasy fan.
You know?
Like, I'm a football fan before a fantasy fan.
There we go. I like to see that. So, Marlon Mack, he is going to be a free agent after this year, but he was, in my opinion, the RB1. I don't know how you feel about that.
He was.
Do the Colts re-sign him?
I don't think so, because they drafted Jonathan Taylor. I think they drafted Jonathan Taylor because they knew they did, because he was there. Let me put it that way. I think, you know, they had intentions to target him, and the fact that he was there in the second round, they were like, holy shit, he's still here. He made it. So they took him after they took Pittman, right? Or did they take him before Pittman? I think they took him before Pittman.
I think they took him before Pittman. Yeah.
They don't have a need for Marlon Mack. And honestly, I didn't understand the Jonathan Taylor pick because Marlon Mack is actually really good at football. Nyheim Hines is pretty damn good at football as well. Jordan Wilkins, I mean, he's the third string. But I thought they could have focused somewhere else. I'm thrilled they took Jonathan Taylor. Like, I like the guy. I think he's got great potential in the future, not this season, but in the future for the Colts.
Yeah.
But I was a little confused by the pick. All the good quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks were gone at that point. So
best player on the board, maybe. Maybe that was their best player on the board there.
And that could have been it. Best player on the board. And they were like, well, he's here, so we're not going to sign Mac again next year. I will say that when Mac was on the field, you knew it was probably a running play, whereas versus when Hines was on the field, you knew it was a passing play. Yeah. With Jonathan Taylor, it can go either way. And now they're giving the ball to Hines in the running game, so it can go either way there as well. So I think Jonathan Taylor brought that sort of mystery to the backfield, whereas with Mac, it was like, well, you know they're not going to throw it to Mac.
I think that is a great football point. Now, somebody is asking, Jameis Winston against Atlanta or Joey Burrow against Washington?
Winston,
Professor
baby.
Chris?
I would go Winston.
Winston?
I have some faith in Winston. I think that's going to be a big shootout game. I'm going Winston.
Yes, I recommend starting Washington defense, if that answers your question.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so any last remarks on the running back list? Now, on Professor Chris, I accidentally deleted your number 6.
Oh, wow. You were that angry, huh? I think that was Derrick Henry. You were just a little frustrated there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Derrick Henry.
Oh, whoopsie. My bad. It was an accident. Wink, wink. So, any last closing remarks that you guys would like to have?
I think I'm all good.
You guys nailed it.
I think we did.
Alrighty. So, Professor Chris, I mean, obviously, this is your Thursday show, but we did it completely backwards. But since we're doing it, we might as well continue the trend.
Sure.
Where can we find you?
Actually, can I ask you guys a quick question about your rankings?
Definitely.
Explain why Kalen Ballage is a top 15 running back.
Volume.
I think he's going to get a massive amount of volume against the New York Jets. I think they're going to be up by a decent amount, and I think he's going to have a big game.
I mean, you're going against the Jets. You're anticipated to win the game. Kalen Ballage is getting over 15 carries a game while he's been there. It's hard.
Well, I mean, he's only been there for
2 games.
You have 15 carries against, obviously, the Oakland Raiders, and then you had 18 against Miami. I think the defense is very good. I think they're going to run the ball. They feel obviously comfortable with Ballage. Joshua Kelly is not really getting the job done. They are concerned a little bit about fumbles as well, but that's why I have him in there. Throw a little spice for you, you know?
All right. Oh.
All righty. So, Mr. Professor Chris, where can we find you?
You can follow SleeperWire on Twitter at SleeperWire Show. I'm on there at prof_ChrisSW. And then you can hit me up on the Sleeper app at Professor Chris there as well.
Nice. Now, Bud, where can we find you?
TTT Fantasy Football on Twitter.
Okay.
One. And obviously, if you want to email me, bud@tttfantasyfootball.com. Email with any questions, anything you guys want to see, obviously, and then check out our website, tttfantasyfootball.com.
There we go. So, of course, you can find me basically on the same. Twitter is Bud on the there, and then you forgot our Instagram. So you guys want to check out our Instagram at tttfantasyfootball. We're usually there. I'll post a lot of starts and sits and all that good stuff. So this
whatever
was
Nader just posts a bunch of pictures of the food that he cooked.
Absolutely.
You know, some thoughts in lingerie.
He usually takes pictures of himself, to be totally honest. There,
just shirtless pics flexing in the mirror.
Yeah, with obviously with his chain. You know,
it's like start this guy or this guy, and it's him flexing with one arm up and one arm down with a name on each bicep. And
you nailed it. You nailed it. Absolutely.
The reverse influencer right there. I just imagined that. I'm sorry. But it's funny that you think that I cook. I do not.
just different bags of fast food.
It's mac and cheese. Mac and cheese and McDonald's. He lives off nuggets.
Chicken
nuggets.
Yes, you're fully correct. So, Chris, do you have a send-off for everybody?
Good luck this weekend, and we'll see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's too many Chris's here. There's Chris, and then there's the great Chris that is
Professor
directly
Chris.
In front of me.
I'm not sure which one is the great Chris, but screw it. We're both the great Chris. The great Chris's. Right.
That works.
good luck, everybody. Let us know how you did.
Exactly. Good luck, everybody.
Playoffs are almost here.
I love it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Top Tier Tactics Fantasy Football Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at tttfantasyfootball.com and follow us on Instagram at Top Tier Tactics. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts too.